Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. I'm so glad you're here. So wonderful to study God's Word together. And what a good group. You can tell we're getting close to school. People are home. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you. Thank you for the blessing of life, life together with one another. Father, we pray this morning that you would open our hearts, open the eyes of our hearts, that we might see wonderful truths, be encouraged, be challenged out of your word today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're back in our spiritual a study that we're having on being a virtuous woman, being full of virtues. And we've been taking virtues one at a time, and we've been looking at them, and we've been being challenged in our hearts to be women that are filled with that particular virtue. But we know the source of virtue is who is in us. It's Jesus. He is the one who is virtuous. So we have the virtuous one in us, and what we're wanting to do is yield to that one in obedience, be challenged by his beauty, and let him fill our lives. Do you remember back when we were studying in our spiritual discipline study? That was back maybe 100 years ago. I can't remember. I lose track of time. And part of that spiritual discipline study was on prayer. And I took 1 week during that study and taught y'all a little book called Praying the Bible by Don Whitney. And he had this wonderful little plan where you take 5 Psalms and you take 1 chapter of Proverbs and you cover the whole book of Psalms in a month and you cover the whole book of Proverbs in a month. And you use it as your springboard for prayer. Because the Psalms are really the Bible's prayer book. Well, I just love that idea. And I don't know why, but I just struggle in my prayer life. I want to have a very strong prayer life, and so I began doing that. Well, it was 10 months ago because I've been doing it 10 months. So that's when we started studying that book. And so it's amazing as you go through the Psalms. How honest the psalmist is. He lets it all hang out with God. He doesn't hold anything back. And yet he'll put out his heart and just lay it bare before God. And then he'll start remembering who God is and rehearsing who God is. And it is amazing how much of the Psalms is dedicated to the virtue we're going to be looking at this morning. It's the virtue of gratitude. And you see the psalmist is so thankful. He's so grateful. Even though he's going through hard issues. But gratitude is a really important thing. One thing that Nancy said, and I agree with it, and I put it on your handout as she starts out this chapter. She says, gratitude is the Christian's first and highest duty. And I got to thinking about that. And I got to thinking about, that's right. Having a grateful heart, it's a distinctive characteristic of a person who is born again. You see, we belong to someone. He is a being. He is a person. He is the one. He is the object of our thanksgiving. All gratitude has to end up at his feet. Thanksgiving should be just a way of life for the Christian. And the truth is, thanksgiving should characterize our lives every single day. Now, gratitude is just such a beautiful, beautiful virtue. Let's go to a very simple verse this morning that I want us to start with, and it's out of 1 Thessalonians 5. And it's verse 18. Let's read it together. It's there on your handout. In everything, Paul says, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, it just couldn't get any plainer than that, right? Such a simple statement. There's nothing hard to interpret about that verse. In fact, it's unmistakable. It says, in everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to circle the word everything. I want to bring that word out. There's just no way around it. No matter what comes into our life, God says, be thankful. Now, the verb there for the phrase in that verse that says, give thanks, it is the Greek word eucharisteia. I can't say. But there's a word we get from that that's going to sound familiar for you. Have you ever heard of the word Eucharist? Eucharist. We get our word Eucharist from that Greek word, give thanks. And if you're familiar with Catholics, maybe you came out of a Catholic background, that's a very familiar word to a Catholic. It is the term used to describe the Lord's table. So put that on your handout. Or the Lord's Supper, which I think we had that, was it last week? Mm-hmm. In our church. It comes from a word. It means to give thanks. This is the Lord's will for us. And it's all connected to the Lord's sacrifice for us. What he did for us, his body, his blood. And that's God's will. He made provision for us. Now, the world is different. They may be thankful, not for everything, but they may experience thanksgiving for certain benefits that might have come their way. Maybe someone was kind to them and they're so thankful for that kindness. Or maybe they received some favor from someone and they're thankful for the favor. But most people in the world who are not saved, they just go through life. They're more likely to be a complainer than to be thankful. They're more likely to grow bitter rather than being content in every circumstance. They're more likely to experience anger than to be happy. And for them, when life goes well, they just congratulate themselves because they feel like life has gone well because of their own effort, their own decisions, their own skills. And so that's how the world operates. But we live in contrast to that. Believers know that our God is at work in everything. We live our lives believing in Romans 8:28. Look at it on your handout, which says that all things are working together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We know that we are on a divine schedule, and the ultimate end is our eternal good. All things are being literally worked together by God's power and God's providence for our good. Now, I'm just going to say this morning to you, do you believe that? Because if that is the case, and it is the case, because the Bible is true, it cannot lie, then there's no need for us to complain. Rather, we should be what? Thankful. In how much?
Everything.
Gratitude. It's the fruit of grace. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the only reasonable approach to life if you have an understanding that God is sovereign and in control in your life. Now let's go to another place to see this. Let's go a few places. I want to go to Philippians 4. And I put verse 6 on your head? 8. Okay. Well, it's not 8, it's actually verse 6.
So correct.
And there Paul says, now listen, be anxious for nothing. Stop right there. Because that's an all-inclusive statement. Be anxious for nothing. Oh, wait, except for this. Or wait, except for that. No, what is God saying? Be anxious for what? Nothing. Nothing is nothing, right? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You see, even when you don't have what you want, even when you are crying out to God for something in your world to change, circumstances you don't like, Paul says, look, don't worry about it. Pray about it. Come before the Lord and listen. Come before Him with a heart of thanksgiving. And let your requests be made known to Him. Go to Colossians 2:6 with me. There Paul says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed. And notice what he says. Do this, overflowing with what? Gratitude. Our gratitude ought to just flood the environment that we're in. It's not just a stingy attitude. It's an overflowing attitude that is to come from our hearts. It ought to wash over the people that we come into contact with. And then look at Colossians 3:15. There, Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Oh, and by the way, be thankful. See it there? Did you hear that? We ought to be women who are devoting our lives to thanksgiving. That is what the New Testament is commanding of us. Now, there's one more I want you to look at. Go to Ephesians 5, verse 18. There he says, be filled with the Spirit. What would that look like, Teresa, if I was filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, I would be speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In my heart, I would be singing and making melody with my heart to the Lord. And I would always be giving thanks for all things. Now that doesn't leave anything out, does it? Always giving thanks for all things. Now, we started in Ephesians. I want to go to another verse there in Ephesians. I want to go to verses 3 and 4, same chapter. Look at those verses. He says, this immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. There must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather what should be coming out of our mouth, the giving of thanks. Now I want to go back where we started in the lesson. We started with 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. But there are two little commands that went before that verse. And I want you to look at the two commands. Look at verse 16 on your handout there. He says, now listen, three things. Rejoice always. That's number one. Number two, pray without ceasing. And number three, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. It's not just giving thanks that's God's will. There are three things here. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And always, in everything, giving thanks. Incessant joy. Unceasing prayer. Unending gratitude. This, my sisters, is God's will for us. Do you hear me this morning? This is something that the Spirit does in us. I like how it sounds. I'm not telling you this morning that you're going to avoid trouble. You're going to have trouble. Have any of you had trouble? That's funny, isn't it? We all have trouble. By the way, Jesus promised it. Look on your handout, John 6:33. In this world you will have trouble, Jesus said. But I have overcome the world. He promised, yes, you're going to have trouble, but guess what? You're also going to experience triumph in Christ, in me. And so this morning, if we wanted to take our spiritual temperature and see, now where am I spiritually? Well, I need to ask the right questions. I don't want to say, well, let me think, do I go to Sunday school every Sunday? That means I'm really a great Christian. Am I going to church? I mean, I haven't committed robbery, and I haven't lied or cheated anybody. That means I'm really spiritually hot, right? No. We've got to learn to write that, to ask the right questions. And so, you know what? I'm going to have to say, Teresa, are you living, rejoicing in the Lord every day? Rejoice always. Teresa, are you living in an attitude of prayer every day as you're going through your life? It's not that I'm in my prayer closet praying the whole day, but no, the whole day I'm practicing the presence of God in my life. I'm very aware of Him in every situation that I find myself in. And then, am I giving thanks for all things that are in my life? Those are the three things that should define our hearts, and that's what we should be looking for if we're going to measure our spiritual temperature. Is my heart full of joy? Am I eager to commune with God in prayer? Am I practicing His presence? Am I aware of Him as I'm going through my day? Am I thanking Him for all that He's done and is doing in my life? This is the heart of a believer. Well, let's ask a question. What is it in my life that could steal my joy, that could interrupt my communication in prayer, or that could take away my gratitude? Let's write down a few things. Number one would be doubt. Doubt. And I put on your handout, doubt about God's sovereign power. You know, the sovereignty of God is such a huge thing. To me, it is my favorite doctrine. I'm so glad I know that. He's over all, He's in all, He's in control, He's on the throne. Nothing can happen unless He permits it. I'm not just living in a chaotic world where, you know, He's saying, good luck down there. Hope you make it. No. He's ruling over all creation. He is in charge. That gives me such peace. And so if I doubt His sovereign power, if it feels like I'm in charge, that's a scary thing. A scary thing. I don't have much wisdom. If I'm doubting that He is all wise, if I'm doubting that He is all loving, if I have any kind of doubt about His sufficiency, it will cause me to lose my joy. I won't have an effective prayer life, and I won't be thankful. Here's another reason. A big one for our world. It could be selfishness. Maybe I'm living my life and I'm just not content. You know, I think this is just not what I signed up for. You ever feel like that? I am stuck in this, and this is not what I wanted. And I'm not going to be thankful. And I'm living life and I'm having a big pity party. And that will rob me. It will definitely rob me. Here's another one. Maybe it's worldliness. Worldliness. You know, I'm just not happy with what God's provided for me. And I want different. I want what she has. I want more pleasure. I want more possessions. I want to be fulfilled in my passions and my pursuits. And so I'm tempted to look to the world to fill up my life rather than being satisfied with what God has given me by the way of spiritual blessings. Here's another one. These are things we have to watch for. It could be a critical spirit. If I have a critical spirit, it's going to cause me to be bitter, to be negative, to have a sour attitude on life. It will cause me to carry grudges. I just don't like the way that person treated me. I'm hurt. That just hurt my feelings. And if I'm going to live with a critical, analytical spirit like that, it's going to be very costly. Joy. Prayer. Gratefulness. You see, all of those things can destroy a thankful heart. Here's another one. Maybe it's impatience. Put that down. You know, maybe you just can't wait to see God's plan unfold. You're so impatient. Things need to be fixed, and they need to be fixed today. You ever feel like that? God, I can't wait. I don't like the fact that things aren't the way I want them to be. I want God to move immediately. I want Him to take care of this. And it will cost me spiritually. Here's another one. Coldness of heart. This was a biggie with the church at Ephesus. When you read the message to the churches in Revelation, he says, I have this against you. You have a cold heart. They had left their first love. They didn't have zeal. They didn't have passion for the Lord, for His word. Passion for His name, His honor, His glory.
Teresa, is there a number six?
Maybe I messed up. Just go with it. I was doing this kind of late. I've had a busy week. I tell y'all all the time, I have no business being your Sunday school teacher. Here's another one. Maybe it's just plain old rebellion. You're not thankful because, you know what? You don't just flat out like how things are going. You don't like what you have. You're not joyful because you think you have a reason to be sad. And I hate to tell you this. I really do. But all of the things that I just mentioned to you, all of those reasons, they're all just plain old sin. So write that on your handout. They're just all sin. And you know what? It's a failure to understand, listen carefully, God is on His throne. God has a plan. You're in His plan. You're a part of His plan. That plan is unfolding. That plan is designed for your benefit according to God's word. And the best parts of that plan, listen very carefully, are operating through trouble. I look back on my life and I can say that is my experience. I look back on my life and I see those hard things that were in my life. Do you know what? Those were the things that God used the most to powerfully transform my life. I can be thankful for those hard things because I so enjoy the transformation. Transformation comes through hard things. Now listen to me. This is not a suggestion to you as Christian women this morning. This is a command. And here is the command. Be thankful. How much? Always. For everything. Now that's a big command. But as I look at God, I'm so thankful for His holiness, His wisdom, His grace, His mercy, His loving kindness. I love that word, loving kindness. His goodness. He's given us the gift of Christ and all the spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ. He's given us salvation. Oh, I'm so happy. I'm so happy I'm saved. So thankful. He's given us victory over sin in our life, over death. He gives us His guidance, His indwelling Holy Spirit. He gives us complete provision for all our needs. And I'm so thankful for the power of the Word of God that is ours in our lives. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful for the sweet Christian fellowship that we enjoy. And I'm even thankful for the trials that come. I'm thankful for the hope of glory that is ours. Well, how do I put myself in a position to be grateful for all of what we've seen this morning? Let's write it down. Number one, I have to confess ingratitude as sin. I have to see it for what it is. And I have to quit making excuses. I do. Well, if only this, if only that. Somebody needs to write the if only book. If only, if only. I need to confess ingratitude as sin. And I need to thank Him that forgiveness is available. It's available. Number two, I need to ask God to show me where I have been complaining and confess those sins as well. We think complaining is just a little sin. You know, it's one of those little big ones. I don't do the biggies, but I just do a little big one, like complaining. Complaining is so costly in our lives. Number three, make a list. By the way, this is your homework for next week. Number three, make a list of the things for which you are very grateful and spend time in prayer thanking God for each one of those things on your list. I want you to do this next week. And then, number four, make a list of the hard things in your life, the troubles, the trials. And then I want you to spend time thanking God for each of those. And here comes the hard one, number five. I want you to make a list of the hard people in your life. I tell God all the time, I love God, you and I, we're like this. It's just these people that you put in my life. They're difficult. They don't do what I want. That's where I have the issues. But make a list of hard people and thank God for each one of those as well. And number six, pray that God will help you express gratitude for all things, all the time. Now, our lesson last week, I meant to say this, our lesson last week was on modesty, purity. And we talked about adorning ourselves outwardly and inwardly. And, you know, I told you, I saw something really unusual in that lesson that I had never thought about before. And it said that we adorn, don't spend so much time on the outside. Yeah, spend some time. That's a good thing. You need to look nice. But don't let it monopolize your life where you're not spending time adorning the inside. But he says to that it's the gentle and quiet spirit that is precious to God. And then he goes on to say, and adorn yourself with good works. And so last week I challenged you, when you went to your closet, what am I going to wear? You pick that out and then ask your question, what am I going to do? I'm going to adorn myself on the outside, but what good work am I going to adorn myself with today? I like that. I did that every day. And I was saying, Lord, what good work will I adorn myself with today? So I want to challenge you, if you weren't here last week, do that as well. These are good things. We're wanting God to fill us, transform us, and make us beautiful, virtuous women. Now we're 10:24. We have just a few minutes left. It is so hard for me to be through at 10:15. I don't know why I'm so worried. But get turning your homework and see if you can answer a question or two at your table. Forgive me for taking so long, because it's so important for us to process what we're studying. I'm going to do better next week, I promise. So, spend some time and answer a few questions, and then I'll come back up and I'll close us in prayer and just